Blog Talk Radio.
and the we who believe in freedom cannot, will not rest. Wow. That was, of course, Sweet Honey in the Rock. And, you know, that is our sentiment. And, of course, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this is Million Woman March Week 2018. And with that, we are now approaching what we call 21, being grown. And we're going to do growner things, shall we say. It's been an interesting journey. It's been an interesting kind of observation and training that we've had to undergo in developing the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent worldwide, and one that we feel very honored to be able to do, to persevere, to withstand many, many obstacles, naysayers, haters, you name it, we've had it. We've gone through it, and surely there's more to go through, but we feel, again, very, very good to be able to have reached this point. And with that, be ready to move to the next level. And the next level is to now demonstrate, to make things manifest the way that we had said early on and certainly over the past years. And so, you know, I didn't really expect some of the obstacles that got in our way, but certainly, again, we have been more than creative and more than ready to not only address some of those issues, but to now weather, not just, again, weather the storm, but to really now kick some butt. Let's put it that way. Tonight, we are, in fact, going to have the dialogue that we wanted to have last night. We had attempted to bring in Chairman Fried, and, of course, he was in a meeting last night, and we were not able to get him then, but we do have him tonight. We're going to talk about the issue of gentrification, but not only the issue of gentrification, but just the whole idea of how our homes, our properties, our lives are being dismantled right in our faces. And oftentimes in what they call legal ways, okay, but, you know, as we've heard the Moon family say on numerous occasions, just because it's legal don't make it right. We certainly bear witness to that. And the question has to be, what are we going to do about some of these things? Well, we're going to start kind of working that out now, and some of it we have already worked out, but now is the time to really start not only bringing it forward, but to make sure that our people are a lot more edified about some of the, not just remedies, but some of the actual solutions to some of the problems that are plaguing our families and communities nationwide, and certainly have been doing so for quite a while. But it seems like right about now, there is a regression that has occurred. We've been doing a 50-year kind of assessment from the Black Power Black Power era, shall we say, that many, you know, say kind of started in the 1960s. Well, we've been looking at the 1960s straight through up to now, and it's been a very interesting, again, observation, analysis, and, you know, what we begin to learn or begin to better understand is some of what really happened. Some of it is very obvious, of course, with there being COINTELPRO, with there being, you know, the regular stuff that groups and organizations unfortunately go through in this country, particularly the ones that go up against the system. But some other things happened in the past 20 to 30 years when these notions of movement, social justice fighting, liberation fighting, justice, etc., when that moved into how you can make money, that's one of our assessments, that when people began to realize that there was, you know, quite a bit of money to be made off of struggle, off of our people's lives, that were fighting against the system. It took a minute to really understand that, but we can pretty much prove it right about now, because that is one of the key things that happened. People who were in the movement in the 1960s and 70s, by the time the 80s and the 90s came, had become really a part of the system and took the information, took the training, took the experiences that they had undergone during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and transformed some of that into something that the system would accept in fighting for or about social issues. It became more palatable. It became more conformed. It became more whitewashed. And so what we ended up having was the idea of activism turning into some form of pimpism. Yep. We've done the analysis, and I dare say I certainly would welcome a debate if someone would like to try to prove this theory or concept wrong, but all you have to do is look at today and see what has happened. From independent schools to charter schools to no schools. Wow. From independent institutions to institutions that ended up becoming pretty much a part of the system and could not, would not survive without the system's not only assistance, but the whole idea of having to do things the way the system predict or mandates for one to do. That you have to use a certain language in your literature, that you have to provide certain kinds of services, and it has to be for everybody. Yep. That's what's going on. And if you say black, oh my gosh, even they got even black folks saying you shouldn't be talking about being black. Oh yeah, this thing is very, very serious. And I'm not talking about the Kanye West serious. I'm talking about the kind of serious that people who are right in our communities, who know some of the language, some of the jargon, know of our history and cultures, know a lot of things, but yet really serving MASA really, really well, by the way. At any rate, we're going to talk more about that at another time. And, you know, again, we said we have reached this 21, meaning MWM is now approaching 21 years of straight, committed, self-determined work. And that's why now we're more than happy to not only speak truth to power, but to, you know, really address some issues and some situations that are well overdue. And as we say, we're the ones that we've been waiting for. We are also the ones who are more than capable and ready to do what we know is necessary to do. And so with that said, we welcome you to this segment of New Day, this special edition. And it is one that we feel very good about. I've been doing special editions this entire week and will continue to do so until probably Sunday. And then, of course, next week we will do kind of other things, including the 21-year anniversary commemoration, which will happen on October 25th. And with that, it will be something that we think you all are going to be not only very pleased with, but some are going to be even a little shocked about. We're going to make it very clear that no white women can speak for us, can strategize for us, can give us a platform, none of that. When we talk about MWM, it's going to be explicitly clear that it's really not a can we all get along kind of thing. Now, note, you know, we ain't trying to hate on nobody, but at the same time, we're not trying to mix stuff in either. We do not have to, we have no desire to, and we never have and never shall. And I know for some, they say, well, you should never say never, but I can tell you that after 21 years, well, we feel pretty confident in kind of maintaining that position. Now, over the years, we've been challenged with that, of course, and, you know, needless to say, we've been able to maintain our ground. And so, again, we now bring forward the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent worldwide, and with that, we are now preparing to do some things not only local, not only national, but international. Why? Well, obviously, to just do things locally and nationally does not really get things done, not in this day and age. And so in recognizing that, we realize it's very, very important to connect the black dots worldwide. And so next week, we will make some very serious announcements, including the plans for our trips to Africa and other places as well. But what, again, we realize is that if we're going to fight adequately, then we have to start upping the ante and also have to make certain that our connection to our motherland is one that is very clear and understood and undeniable, and that even though our roots are here in terms of the actual physical birth, we have to make it very clear that our spirit and so the and some of the aspects of our struggle is explicitly, exclusively coming from that ancestral source. And so, again, after next week's commemoration, we're going to start hearing what we've really been working on over the years. Now, lastly, and then we're going to get ready to go to our live line and talk with Chairman Freya Hampton Jr. We played some excerpts the other evening from Mr. Farrakhan's presentation that he did, I believe it was on Sunday in Detroit. It was the 23-year anniversary of the Million Man March. And, of course, we saluted our brothers because we're very serious about real strong black men. Love them. Love them. And going to make it very clear that we respect and honor real black men in terms of working with them, in terms of really being there for them to assist, and vice versa, by the way. But also, we're going to make it very clear that there is a difference, and that there's a difference with those who talk about being strong black men and those that really are. And we're going to show you some of the difference, because the question is going to be raised very clearly, and that is, what do you do to help our sisters? Really? Okay, we'll have that conversation another time. But nevertheless, and here's the logical part that goes with that. If the children are with the mother, pretty much for the most part in many situations, the first 3 to 4 years of their lives, wouldn't it make a lot of sense that that entity is kind of given some consideration beyond the norm or beyond the, you know, well, again, we're going to have that conversation in the very near future. And as such, it will reveal some very interesting things. At any rate, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And again, we're going to get ready to talk to Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. But, oh, I digress. I mentioned that Minister Farrakhan, very good, interesting speech that he did on Sunday. I found it interesting that he talked about the women's march, you know, with the white women. I found that real interesting, but I understand the politics of that too. But at any rate, the one thing that I really did like, or it was several parts of the speech that I liked, but one that I really liked was the references that he made to how even the Nation of Islam in its earlier days were being called a voodoo group by white people. in the 1930s and 40s. I thought that was just so interesting. But then he fast-forwarded and said how significant that was, the meaning of spirit, because he talked about how for the Haitian Revolution that the spirit of Toussaint, et cetera, came from traditional African spirituality and that this was a good thing. This is what the minister said. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but this is sort of what he said. Listen, y'all need to go check it out. Go to Nation of Islam website, and it's right there. I thought it was a wonderful analogy, particularly given the fact that, by the way, and he talked about how Haiti is paying still today for them being able to beat the French. Again, wonderful, wonderful analogy. Again, we're going to talk more about that a little later on, but I just wanted to put that out there to you because we're kind of coming full circle. And when you start hearing more about what MWM is bringing to the table, to the movement, to the African liberation struggle, I think you'll begin to see that we really are a divine instrument. And while, you know, unfortunately, there's been a lot of misuse of our people, and in this case, particularly our women. I think what we're going to now see is that that's going to get corrected. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in the very near future as well. Okay, we're going to get ready to go to our live line now, and we are going to get ready to bring in Chairman Fred Hampton. Okay, hold on one moment, and let's see. We're getting ready to bring him in a minute, so let's see. Okay, bear with me, family. We should be bringing him in right about now. So, let's see. Oops. Okay, this should get him in. Oops. Uh-oh, just lost it. Okay, hold on one moment. Okay, that should do it. Oh, let's see. And again, thank you. Here we go. We should have him right about now.
Good morning.
Greetings, greetings, Tim and Fred. How are you this evening?
Greetings.
All right, all right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm right behind you. Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, okay, we got you.
Okay.
All right. All right, family, we now have Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. on the line with us. And again, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but one thing in particular, we're kind of dealing with an emergency situation. We put an alert out yesterday after we found out that, you know, that there were some really kind of serious things going on in Chicago, of course, with Chairman Fred, with the family. And you know what we do when it comes to our family, you know, we try to get right on top of it immediately. So we began to send messages out to some of our networks that have radio programs and TV programs to make certain that they were able to begin circulating this information, as well as our internet family, et cetera. And I want to say kudos to all of them because, for the most part, we got the responses that we wanted. And so, you know, we wanted to make sure that Chairman Fred would be able to get on some of these radio programs, TV programs, to, you know, get this information circulated about the Hampton House. And so with that said, we're going to go to our brother and let him give you the information that is, you know, really important that we not only listen, but that we take some action in regards to it. So, Chairman Fred, you got the mic.
First and foremost, revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation, Empress. Literally, as I'm talking to you, we're right in front of the house, the Hampton House in Maywood, Illinois. This is the home in which the childhood home in which Chairman Fred Hampton had grew up in Maywood, Illinois. It's we say politics is like real estate. You have to take into account time and location, what have you. This the home was purchased in 1958. Ironically, this is 50 years after they purchased the home. And we also yesterday marked the second year of my grandmother's death. So it's a lot of connection with the time. This my uncle, Jimmy Craig's brother, he had passed across 8 months ago. We the Black Panther Party Cubs, we've been here working with little or no resources in the place. We have a campaign to save the Hampton House. And in fact, August 30th, we did an unofficial opening of the museum. That's one of our intentions to maintain the museum. Now, when we talk about this campaign, it's not just a house and a subjective sense, like, you know, for us, but something to have a discussion about, you know, so what happened then, and also the work that we continue to do right now today. Cut to the chase. We've been informed by the mortgage companies that the house is set to be put up for auction Tuesday, October 23rd. And one reporter asked me the other day, well, how did we get to this stage? And my response was that our family is a microcosm of so many other families who've been victimized by the predatory lenders, so on and so forth. We say this is what is bigger than the building, and it's more significant than just the structure. Just the time we've been in thus far, the conversations and the program that's been happening at the groundbreaking. We see it as a crime that children would go to the elementary school across the street from here, the same elementary school, man, that Chairman Fred himself had attended. We talk about the COINTELPRO. Some of the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. We talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal's FBI file when he's 14 years old. There was a wiretap placed on my grandmother's phone in the same house when he's 14 years old. The government thought it was a typo. The elementary school that he attended is still across the street. The high school that he attended is down the street. The infamous ice cream truck robbery that Chairman Fred was framed for, that's less than a block away from his house. So this is living history, you know what I'm saying? So again, and one brother told me the other day, he came by, he said, Chairman Fred, do you understand these are from the same dishes that Chairman Fred ate out of? So the political significance, the personal significance, this is personal political, but it's a connection. One brother told me that this is something that him and his grandmother can unite on to fight about. You know what I'm saying? To unite, to fight for the campaign to say the Hampton House. So we tap into all arenas, you know what I'm saying? So people have been coming from all walks of life, help painting, you name it. You know what I'm saying? So the support is building. We got a Twitter team. They call out all these different artists, these entertainers, these athletes who get all these resources. They call the question on them. So the end is being up.
All right. Okay, family. I'm going to open up the lines for you all. If you have any questions, and I'm sure you do, it is so important. Chairman Fred, there is a deadline coming up. Tell our family what that's about.
Well, again, we say we on crunch time, and we on cub time. We on this is cold red, you know. Deadline we've been given is again October 23rd. It's when it's set to go to auction. We as yesterday opposition we were under the pressure we got to raise $80,000. And however, with the possibility of $14,000 would stop the bleeding. I guess you could say that apply like a temporary Band-Aid. You know what I'm saying? But we got a meeting tomorrow to get, you know, to get more specific. This campaign, I've been really getting my feet wet, like learning a lot more about this whole predatory lending with the principal mortgage company, so on and so forth. So we supposed to do some more research tomorrow, find out like who is what, you know what I'm saying? Because this is something the shell game with real estate is something that our people have been victimized by. But as it stands, we're looking at between $70,000 and $80,000, you know, to pay the mortgage off. That's what we're looking at to get that in by Monday. Because, again, the date for sale is set for Tuesday. And we got a GoFundMe set up already, GoFundMe.com/ Save the Hampton House, also a PayPal. PayPal.me, Save the Hampton House.
All right. All right. Now, Tim Fred, wow, this is why family is so important, that, you know, we've got to step things up, because we are losing our history, we're losing the few institutions that we do have, and it is, you know, primarily because we are letting people trick us, manipulate us, and sell us out. It's as simple as that. Tim Fred, just a quick question on that note. The area that the house is in, is that being gentrified?
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
The area that the house is in, is that going through a process of gentrification, that area?
Yes.
Meaning takeover?
Yes, yes. Background. This is in Maywood. This is right. It's like right on the borders of the west side of Chicago. And it's not, as we speak, it's not as blatant as you see, like, you know what I'm saying, as we see inside of the city of Chicago. But it's a microcosm of what's happening to our people, to our community, everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. So it's becoming common to see the abandoned buildings. And the next question is what the gangsters and the banksters. Just getting the property.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, for some reason, and I didn't know, you know, for certain, but I just know what's going on a national level. These people are moving in on certain areas. This is a national situation that's going on. See, people can't talk about white flight as it was 50 years ago. This is something totally different. This is very diabolical and is well orchestrated all over the country. And they deliberately let certain communities, neighborhoods go under, become blighted. And then, you know, they knew that they would start mapping out a plan where they would turn it over quickly. And that's what's happening. And I figured, I just had a feeling that the property, the house, is either in or near an area that they got some plans for.
Yeah, no doubt. Empress, I would go as far as say, you know, internationally, because see, it's like, you know, some of the same tactics that are employed by the government, you know, internationally, you know, they land down right here, you know, domestically. And you know, America's definition of democracy is letting others have their way. Again, letting others have their way. In other words, setting the conditions so at the end of the day that the people in Iraq or in Afghanistan, they demanded more, you know, U.S. troops. They demanded more Coca-Cola, more Monsantos. In the city of Chicago, the people demanded more surveillance cameras in the community. So that's one of America's policies. You know what I'm saying? And even in our community, like we've just up and left, we moved on our own volition. Kind of like doing what they refer to as the Great Migration. You know, our people leaving, negating the hangings, the lynchings, the rapes, the murders. They literally forced our people from, you know, put them on a run. From down south, you know what I'm saying? So these are international attacks. You know what I'm saying? They go into such euphemisms as gentrification, police brutality, you know, Operation Weed and Seed. These nice terms that really have, you know, brutal actions and detrimental impact on our people.
Right. Wow. Okay. So, you know, again, family, it is so important that we really understand what is going on. And in this particular case, this is really a little closer to the heart, I guess one might say, even though it's happening all over the country in many of our neighborhoods. And the fact that a lot of our people over the course of the past 10 years in particular have lost a lot of property by way of foreclosure, by way of eminent domain, and so forth and so on. Yeah. So, you know, now we have the opportunity to really see it up close and personal. Some of you have already experienced it, needless to say. But again, you know, after we have this dialogue tonight, we're going to look closer at what are our options? What can we begin to do to reclaim, rebuild our communities? That has to happen. And if not, then folks need to just go ahead, pack up their bag, and get ready to go into the gas chamber or wherever these people got planned. You know, and it may not be the physical gas chamber. They got some other stuff planned because, they got these new vaccinations here in Fred. I don't know if you saw. They got this new vaccination that they just approved from a child, meaning a teenager in this case. Now they said it's approved to up to 45 years of age, but we'll talk about that later, but I'm just saying, listen, they got a whole bunch of other stuff they're getting ready to drop on folks. But Tim and Fred, I want you to stay right there. We got a couple of callers that have a few questions, a few comments. We want to go to them, and then we're going to come back to you and just get some overall views or insight into what's going on in Chirac right about now. So caller, you are at 7285, and 7285, your mic is open. Greetings. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Greetings, everyone. Hey.
All right.
Mr. G, how are you? I'm greeting, brother.
Wonderful.
Fred, Chairman Fred. I feel you. I feel your pain, and I understand the urgency. And, but a lot of times we got to understand that everybody's urgency, our urgency ain't everybody's emergency. But with that being said, I wanted to say to point out, like, maybe set up a Cash App as well, because Cash App is quicker. Like, those funds go directly into an account. You know what I'm saying? So if y'all can set up a Cash App. People are doing Cash App now, and people can send money through the Cash App, and that Cash App you can be paid out real quick without having to do that day or two, whatever, waiting. You know what I mean?
You know,
I'm sorry, say that again.
That was all talking about the Cash App. I don't know if there was concerns they had too about the issue with the Cash App. I don't know if you're. They say something about the money not coming up missing or something. I don't know the details, but that was also brought to our attention also by using the Cash App. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, the thing with the Cash App, you just set it up with, like I have it set up through my bank, or you can set it up through a bank and with a bank card, and then people can just start sending you cash right through there. Yep. And you can push the pay button, and it'll pay it immediately.
Oh.
And you push
the cash out. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you. I'm definitely relate that to our forces then. Some forces said there was some issues about that, but
I've never had any issues with it. I'm sure you haven't, right?
But you said you went to the Cash App is connected directly to the bank.
Directly to your bank. So when someone sends money,
no problem with that.
And
yeah.
Right, someone sends money, it'll show up, and then you push the cash out button, and it goes directly into the bank immediately.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. I definitely relate that. Yeah.
You're right, Sister Miss. We haven't had any problems with it either.
Right.
Yeah, she said it's going to the bank.
Right. It goes directly into the bank. The other question I wanted to ask was, do they know who the mortgage holder is? Like, what bank holds this mortgage?
Well, that's the thing right there. Now, I'm getting my feet wet. I'm learning a lot of stuff about this predatory lenders, so on and so forth. Mr. Cooper Mortgage Company, that's supposed to be the mortgage company. But you know, it's a big thing where they merge, like kind of like the music industry.
Exactly.
They merge into different companies, and they may change their name after they've been exposed for some
exactly.
bogus actions. You know what I'm saying? So at this, so tomorrow we're gonna do some more information that came out about this. The one that we thought is the mortgage company that holds it. Cooper. Yeah. So,
all right.
I'm learning as we go.
Okay. Great. One of the things is Wells Fargo is the actual mortgage holder or was the mortgage holder and then sold it off. You will have a better fight because they have been under the radar and they still are under the radar and they have to actually pay people back, so to speak, because they're predatory lending. So definitely find out if Wells Fargo was involved in that.
Yes. Now I'll make sure we have a magnifying glass. Look if they, you know, their name is involved. You know what I'm saying? In there
absolutely.
Somewhere. Definitely.
Okay.
Right on.
All right.
Now,
PayPal.
Who is that set up through? I mean, who do you send it to? Like, is there a link?
PayPal.com. .me/save the Hampton House. PayPal.me/save the Hampton House.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely going to do all we can do on this end to be of help, be of service. You know.
Revolutionary appreciations.
Yeah. That means we got to take a trip to Chicago. I'm just saying.
Right on.
You know what I mean?
I believe in kicking doors in. We will carry ourselves around that building if we have to. I'm just saying. Hey, you cracking, but you facting. I just said handcuffs and caskets. Handcuffs and caskets. You know, real talk. I'm on emotional high from the other day. The last week, we either came across some actual his Chairman Perez clothing, his coat. You know what I'm saying? That was here. You know what I'm saying? So it's been like a So, you know, in fact, I showed my mother comrade. You know, the famous brown corduroy jacket he wore, blazer he wore. We found that here. You know what I'm saying? So it's been it's been something. Yeah, it's high school pictures. You know what I'm saying? It's been phenomenal. Yeah.
And this is just like what we, Sister Empress Chi was talking about. Like, you know, these are historical sites. And, like, a lot of what happens is a lot of these things go into the trash. Like, you know, because of these predatory lenders, they come in and they take these buildings. We're not even able to go in and retrieve anything or whatever. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know. And so at this point, we got to listen. You either want to step up or step out. That's it.
That's right.
There it is.
You know, this is why one of the things we've been saying, Chairman Fred, is that MWM, next week we are officially grown. You know, they say when you're 21, you're grown, right? So we said we are officially grown now because this will be our 21-year anniversary. And so we're saying we're going to do what grown-up people do now. See, and that means no bars. We're gonna bust this thing out now. All right, going to call it the way we see it and deal with it accordingly.
That's right.
All right, Sister Liz, you stay right there. We're going to bring in, I think this might be Sister Gabrielle.
Go ahead, Brother Chairman Fred. I did see the post. I shared it on my page.
Right on.
But I don't think it had that information as far as the PayPal.
Oh.
So if you can update it and put it back out there, I will gladly share it and urge all our people.
You didn't see it on the website?
On the Facebook. On the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
So it was the and it had the bio and all that and the history of what the house, you know, everything that y'all trying to do to save the house.
Okay.
But I don't think I've seen anything information about, you know, to where to send funds.
Okay. We get on that ASAP. Thank you, sister. Yes indeed.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't forget
you're going to look into the Cash App, too. Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
You're
going to
also look into the Cash App. Before we go to another caller, we got a question on this end, Chairman Fred. If you can answer, I know you can, but you may not want to, which is not likely. But anyway, you're in Chicago. Chirac.
Yes.
So, has there been any connection or contact with Mr. Farrakhan?
Charlene Muhammad had done an interview with her yesterday. It's over the print, so that should be an issue of final call. But there's no direct contact with Mr. Farrakhan. But that matter of fact, I think someone just told me they just seen it online. So it's definitely online version of the final call. So we putting the word out to every arena. You know, the activists, the religious community. I just engaged in a church tour this past Sunday. We going to the mosque, the pool hall, you name it. We got a commitment from Native Razor come across an old writing, a song written by Park, you know, the actual authentic writer, and they gonna put it up for auction for the proceeds to come to benefit the Hampton House.
Right.
So we had a block party Sunday, right across the street from the house. It was 5 p.m. that Sunday.
Okay.
So we go everywhere, every arena.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Good thing. One last question, then we're going to go to our callers, our family online. If you have a question or comment, please press 1 now. We're going to come right to you in a few minutes. Here's the other thing that I want you to just give a little bit of clarity to, Chairman Fried, and it is people don't know kind of what happened, meaning I think it's important that they understand that this house has been in the family for over 50 years. And the other thing that needs to be understood is that you're just getting aware of what happened because your uncle just passed last year. And he, of course, was, you know, in the house. He was the one that had the house up until his passing, and then it came to you. So just give a little bit of insight into that.
You know, this those questions that you mentioned, also, people, you know, there's people have seen books written, you know, different athletes and different entertainers, people talking about the Black Panther Party, T-shirts with Chairman Fred. Some people say, well, all this profit, all this money going around, you know what I'm saying, why are we, you know, why is this, why are we even having this discussion? You know, since we're given this, we should have to actually worry about this issue. It's political. It's a microcosm of the quote, the relationship that, you know what I'm saying, the struggle that those who struggle, what we go through, you know what I'm saying, we go back and look at what Fannie Lou Hamer, which he had to deal with in a lot of years, you know what I'm saying? And I think even people from a different come from a different cloth. I think it was Oprah Winfrey that supposedly came with something to help Coretta Scott King. It was the situation she had in regards to her housing. So these and go back to what you mentioned, Empress, about, you know, said this house has been for quite some time. Hold on, one second.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's a good point, family, that this is not something that is unusual. And keep in mind that people who are in history or that have a legend with them or whatever, oftentimes, you know, other people are making money off of these people's legacies, their work and so forth, and I'm still alive and they're pimping me. I got people running around talking about they was the founder of the Million Woman March or they was some other stuff, and, you know, they're able to get speaking engagements and other stuff. So I know firsthand just in my little kind of way, but certainly those who have even a bigger you know, kind of contribution or interaction or whatever, they are constantly used to, you know, for people to make money off of them. So, you know, I hear what Chairman Fred is saying, and certainly you all have heard of stories as well of famous people or people who have done certain things, and then yet at the same time, you know, somebody else ends up with the rewards or the accolades or what have you. You know, these are some of the things that in the very near future, family, we need to address, because as long as people think they can get away with doing that, they will.
Okay,
very good. Let me just finish this one sentence. Certain folks realize that they're going to get their butt kicked if they mess with certain people, then this stuff will stop, at least lessen. Okay, back to you, Chairman Fred.
Those are legitimate questions, concerns, and I can't stress enough, like when I speak about these issues, you know, saying whether it be the killings in Chirac, whether it be, you know, saying whether it be the assassination of Chairman Fred, you never hear me you know, put out there in a subjective, personal type of way, like the police killed my daddy or my cousin got killed in Chicago. Because the reality, not to seem stoic or cold, it's political what's happening. This is and we look for political, you know what I'm saying, symbolisms to get the gun and the support of our people to be an example of what's happening on a larger scale. We may put out certain political prisoners, cases. We put them out there. But the dynamic is, we like to deal is, we obviously, this is the free them all. The system knows the importance. And I'm not talking about this U.S., I'm talking about imperialism. We look at even Napoleon of the French, the strategic move with him taking the cannon, and this when we get the 21 guns, get the 21 gun salute, shooting, attempting to not shoot the nose of the Sphinx in Egypt, in Africa, you know, to take away what they refer to as the Negroid features. You know what I'm saying? It's a war tactic. You know, it's not by coincidence. Even when we first came into this house, you know what I'm saying, there were people that were setting up the drug trade. You know what I'm saying? This is to salt the earth. This is to take away any memory. You know what I'm saying? And when you talk about, you know what I'm saying, who stayed here, you know? So this we came in, we learn as we go, but it's a microcosm of what's happening to our people on a larger scale. The straight up death of property, you know what I'm saying? When we go through our communities, it's like a Hiroshima hit it, you know what I'm saying? And it's strategic. Yeah. And we have to put this in correct context. These are war tactics, you know what I'm saying? Right now, with Chairman Fred is buried in Haynesville, Louisiana. His tombstone is shot up annually. You know what I'm saying? So they don't want us to know about this here. So we got to fight to maintain this legacy. In fact, we say protect, respect, and never neglect.
I know that's right. Okay, what we're going to do is go to our line again, and I believe this might be Sister Gabrielle. I think it's, let's see, 4984. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Greetings, this is Gabrielle. Hi, Brother Chairman Fred. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Keep my head up. How do you say, you can't put someone to wheel drown. How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing well. I've gone through a similar situation that I was worked on for over 15 years. I just have some questions I'd like to ask. Hopefully you can answer them. If not, we have an issue. One of my questions is, was there an original copy of the first? Is this a tax foreclosure or a mortgage foreclosure?
I missed your question.
I read two different things. I read in one article that the property is being auctioned off for taxes, and in another it said because it was a mortgage foreclosure. So is it one or both?
Mortgage.
Do you know if they placed an original copy of the mortgage document in the court records?
I don't know. We have a meeting. Matter of fact, when I just got on hold just now, I said, hold on for a second. That was a confirmation from the attorney that we're going to meet. As we go, there's more and more information being revealed, you know what I'm saying? We really got some suspicion about this predatory lending. You know, so okay, I'm using my feet, but I'm learning as we go. So I got this meeting set tomorrow morning. I have some more information coming out with that. And like I said, we don't see this as just a case with our family, with our household.
Is the case in your uncle's name, or is it in his estate, or is it in your name? Who are they going after?
The state of my grandparents' name.
So the suit is such and such mortgage company, for example, versus, and then it would be your grandparents.
Yes.
But it's their estate, correct?
Yes.
And are you their executor?
Yes.
Are you the you're the executor? Have you received paperwork regarding the mortgage? Have they changed it to so it's in the estate, and are they sending you the paperwork directly? Is it coming to you?
No, to the estate. So we're in the process of even change to my name directly. That's what the process is doing right now. Also.
Okay, because that helps some. Oh, geez.
Okay.
What else I have? Have another. Was there a will?
No will.
Since you've been involved in this process, was there a mediation hearing?
No.
You didn't have any hearings at all?
No.
Were you
no.
able to go before a court and present your evidence before a judge, rather?
No.
Wow. Okay. See, then that brings up violations of the Constitution, and that's what I really believed it was when I first heard about it. That they cannot take property without due process.
Right.
If you haven't had a mediation hearing, if there's been no hearings, then they're violating the constitutional law.
We're gonna
have the original copy. It has to be the original. It can't be a photocopy. It can't be a picture. It has to be the original mortgage document signed by your parents and notarized and signed by the notary. So you're going to find out if that's available. And also, what was it?
I missed the last point you made about the notary.
They don't have to provide an original copy of the mortgage document. It has to be the original document. For if someone refinanced, you need that. It'll have to have that document. If it wasn't refinanced, it has to be the people that originally took the mortgage out. It has to be an original copy. And if not, if they're saying it's lost, they were supposed to have gone through a process to prove that it was lost. And I don't believe they did that either.
Yeah.
They may have it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm in.
And then also the mortgage company, before they go through with this process, they're supposed to make sure they do everything possible to help stay in the property. Have they done that?
Everything possible to do what?
to help you stay in the property. Have they done that?
Oh, no.
Mm.
No.
Okay. All right, they're the questions I have for now. I'm still researching, so I can come up with some more.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank
I'm still
you,
researching, so I may come up with something else, and during the end, if I come up with more, if I may be allowed to ask a few more questions.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
I'm going to mute now.
Okay, cool. Okay, and so it sounds like, based on what you just said, it sounds like that there is, and we all know these people do whatever they want to do, but we still should know and have as much information as we need to know and have to fight back. It sounds like there is a violation of your rights. I mean, not that they haven't been doing this all along anyway, but I'm just saying, for the sake of an argument, it sounds like, you know, basic, you understand what I'm saying? There's some rights here that now it sounds like that can be argued. And I think it's important that we at least know, you know, what that, you know, that is a possibility. Even when you talk with the lawyer in the morning, Cameron Fred, by us having this conversation tonight, I think you might be able to even, you know, conversate with him to a greater extent and, you know, raising some of these questions about what other possibilities or what have you. So thank you, Sister Gabrielle, and also Sister Liz.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was good stuff. That was good information.
Definitely.
Right. And I know one of the things that's happening. Right. And one of the things that's happening here. Yeah. One of the things that are happening here, and I've been to a several of these kind of meetings. I don't know if they have that in Chicago, but. What they do have is when there's no transfer of deed or no will, and this is what's happening in our communities a lot, like the grandparents have bought the home, but they passed on and the uncle just stayed there. He never got the name, the deed transferred into his name through the tax office, because he could have done that. So that way, you know, everything could have came to him. And now that he's passed, that's what you could have done, have gotten the property in your name. And you may still be able to do that. So even though there was no will, like here, you just have to prove that you were living in the house, right?
Yes.
And if you were living in the house, then they have to allow you to be able to transfer that deed over into your name. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like your uncle didn't do that.
It may not be the case in Chicago.
But I mean, he can also ask and look into it, because who knows?
Right.
I know it's here in Philadelphia.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I've been to a lot of those places, you know, so I know it's in Philadelphia for sure. But it may be something like that, too. And we just, you know, and a lot of us just don't know it, because there is no will. And we just stay in the house and live there and never think about getting the deed into our, you know, into your name. That might be one of the cases, too, that you can ask the lawyer, hey, have you been living in the house?
Yes.
Since your uncle passed?
Yes.
Okay, so that's basic. I mean, you know, you can ask, listen, I've been living here. So, I want to take responsibility for it. So how do I go about getting the deed? In my name. So that may be one of the ways that they can stop it, or at least, like Sister Gabrielle was saying, look into it a little further and have this hearing. You know, get a hearing going so you can prove your case. You know,
they were supposed to do that. That wasn't his responsibility. That was the court's responsibility, whoever the judge is.
Right. But a lot of times, I've been to, like, okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to go back to you in 1 minute, Sister Liz, but something just sparked in my brain, and I want to get it out real quick. One of the things that we discussed earlier today, and I think this is on point, and when you meet with the lawyer tomorrow, Chairman Fred, you know, please at least raise this question, and that is the possibility of a stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
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 So, yeah, that was discussed today, and it made sense to me when we were discussing it. So, again, you know, when you talk with him, ask him about that, the feasibility of a stay, because, you know, we are familiar with foreclosures and certain other things, and to get a stay is very, you know, I don't know all the circumstances, but, it's, you know, we've seen it happen before where people have gotten stays.
Right.
And it held up, you know, for a minute. Okay, and gave you more time to do whatever. And then in some cases, people were able to, you know, to be able to move forward with what they were trying to do. Okay. I'm sorry, Liz, go ahead. Finish what you were saying, please.
No. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and just raise all these questions about, you know, getting the deed transferred into your name, proving that you was, you know, you have been living there, trying to get, you know, do a stay, an order of stay, to kind of try to stop the process so it gives you more time to go to a hearing and get this a title or deed transferred over. And whatever it takes, you know.
Okay.
Right on. Yes,
all right. Great. All right. Go ahead, Chairman Fred.
The Black Panther Party said information is raw material for new ideas. We are truly appreciative of the information, no doubt.
Oh, good thanks. Yes. Okay. Let me see if there's any other questions or comments, family. If you have one or two, whatever, you can press one now. Again, we're just kind of brainstorming and also sharing information that some may have experienced or is somewhat aware of. We certainly welcome your thoughts. Particularly if you know what you're talking about, okay? But even if not, you know, sometimes, you know, suggestions can lead to other things. So, again, if any of that applies, please press 1 now, and we certainly would love to hear from you. Okay, while we're looking to see if someone has another question or comment, Tim and Freya, let's just kind of move away from that for one moment. And let me just ask you about what's going on in Chirac right about now. I mean, over the past few months, of course, you know, we've heard about it being, my goodness, a bunch of stuff going on. But the one thing that I really kind of wanted to hear a little more about, because I think the last time we talked, you know, we were talking about the murders and the number of missing women and girls, black women and girls in Chirac, in Chicago, that seems like nobody was really talking about outside of Chicago. And I'm just wondering, you know, has there been any kind of action or whatever around that?
You know, just last week, a week and a half ago, sister's name, over here on 71st right in Ferrario, that's the southeast side of Chicago, the Chatham area. Young sister, you know, mid to late 20s, postal worker. The fact is also she's three months pregnant. She came up quote unquote missing. So we're trying to get our attention around that case right there. You know, we've been on the show about the whole Nicky's case, something like that. This whole dynamic about this body organs, that's you know, it's still we still holding on to that. You know what I'm saying? That's a major contradiction, a major activity that's happening here. You know, and you know, Chicago is documented as the hub of the transferring and the selling of body organs. You know, and you know, so to answer the question, we still dealing with that. We still, you know, we don't the amber alerts don't, you know, don't get called for our people. But it's common, you know, people, sisters and brothers coming up missing. You know, I mean, like literally, you know, and it's intertwined with this whole the rampant mysterious shootings. And, you know, no one knows who's doing the murder, so on and so forth. It's tying in with the overcrowding conditions in Cook County Jail. Have you know prisoners are, you know, just coming up missing? You know, inmates are just coming up missing. In fact, down in Menard is in Southern Illinois. In fact, Chester, Illinois. And that's Menard, was where Chairman Fred was in 1969, and I was in 1999. They have been, no media reports about this. The last 2.5-3 weeks, it's been like a death a day in Menard, in the prison. And the prison administration is saying this was some bad dope got in there or what have you. But this is happening right now as we speak down in Menard in Chester, Illinois.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, that's just like what's going on up here as far as the prison prison here.
Right.
They're saying that about the dope, and that's what they're see, and this is all set up and designed. When that when they went on strike for them 12 days,
that's right.
That's when all they said, oh, now people are bringing dope in and people are mysteriously getting sick or dying all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We thought people been bringing dope in for forever. That ain't nothing new. So now all of a sudden, people dying.
Yeah.
Right, you hit it right on the nose. As soon as they went on that no work strike thing, that's when all this other stuff went into effect. In fact, Chairman Fred, I don't know if you heard, but in Pennsylvania now, they have passed legislation where our brothers and sisters cannot get books anymore. They have to get them by way of the internet.
I seen some live footage with Pam Africa was talking about that down there. We heard about that. These are war tactics. You know, these are dismantle your communication, they cut you off. You know, I mean, we know how in our community, in the outside community, how the problems we have with the no Wi-Fi. You know, the internet cut off, no internet service.
Right.
You know, so you can only imagine
right.
that you're saying. Up inside those concentration camps.
Right. And see, the other thing, too, that we found very unusual, not unusual, but really interesting, is not only did they do that, they also enforced where letters now go to a third party. Before they get to until they get to the person that it's sent to, is read, is opened and read by another agency first, and then it's duplicated. The so-called inmate doesn't even get the original copy. It's duplicated and then given to them, so they're keeping the original copy. Now, can you imagine the cost of that? You're crazy. We trying to stop contraband? Really?
Well, I'm not gonna go for that script. I'm gonna quote the former warden of Stateville, George DeTellis. They had these drug scales, weapons, snake skin boots, and a whole bunch of packages of cocaine. And George DeTellis say, ain't no prisoner brought that inside his body up in here. all that propaganda they give us, like we the ones sneaking in and all that, you know. Say prison is as Mr. repeating said, that prison is a microcosm of the outside community. So the same ones bringing the drugs into the streets, to the streets of Philadelphia,
same
ones Chirac,
right.
Same ones bringing up in SCI Green, up in Stateville. You know, it's the same dynamic. The same ones that you know, saying there was problems from flooding, Vietnamese. You know, saying with dope bins and prostitution, dope houses, prostitution dens. Same entity.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had the nerve to use a 25-year-old black guard up here as a scapegoat when seven guards got sick and they don't know what happened and how he got in. And then the next day, and he had the nerve to be like, yes, sir, master. It was me. Really?
Hey, yes, indeed.
What? Are you stupid or something?
No, the age.
25 years old.
And he was a guard. That attack dog go all the way out for master. That attack dog is serious.
Oh, my goodness, I tell you. I mean, and so that's the whole thing, is that we're facing so many things at so many directions on so many different levels, and I'm telling you, it's time to step it up. Period.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's
all directions. Yes, indeed.
That's right. Yeah, it is our intention to do that and then some. Tim and Fred, I just got a text, and one of our sisters here would like for me to give you her number. She would like for you to call her tomorrow in regards to the stay. She's one of our community activists here, very much involved in the housing kind of arena, and has done a lot of work with real estate and things of that nature. So I'm like to text you her number, and I will give you her name and all of that, and she would like for you to connect with her tomorrow so she can go over with you, particularly about the stay.
Yes, right on.
Okay.
Good thing.
Absolutely. All right, family. Well, this was a powerful, another powerful dialogue, and certainly, this is a very important issue, a very important dialogue. This is something that we're going to have to talk about more in the very near future, but not only talk more about it, but to be prepared. Next week, when we talk to you about MWM, A Million Black Women Rising, we're going to also tell you about our war chest. See, again, situations like this, we really, I mean, you know what time it is. We've been knew what time it was.
Yes.
This is 50 years now since we saw certain things. So it's not like we don't know, but we now got to act like we know. So next week, MWM will be putting up its war chest information so that we can be more prepared, more ready, more responsible to take care and to handle our own business. Okay? MWM has never had a grant. We've never had corporate sponsoring, and that was for a reason. We have made many sacrifices over these years to make certain that our level of integrity could remain as such. And while we were not able to do all the things that we wanted to do over the years, there's one thing for certain. We ain't kissed nobody's behind. Okay?
Right on.
So that's got to be of some value. Okay? Got to be of some value. And we dare say it is. So next week, we'll be putting out information about our war chest so that we can really be able to fight back and support our people, our groups, our organizations, our institutions, our struggles, our strategies, et cetera. I'm going to go back to Chairman Fred for a moment. Chairman Fred, give the information again, your Facebook information, your email information, your website information, and definitely the GoFundMe information.
PayPal, Cash App.
You name it.
Right.
My email is Chairman Fred Junior. Let me give you the email address also. Black Panther Party Cubs. No, excuse me, scratch that. Let's go into the email. We can get into Save the Hampton House. That makes it more simple. Save the Hampton House at gmail.com. Save the Hampton House at gmail.com. The PayPal.me/SaveTheHamptonHouse. The GoFundMe, www.GoFundMe/SaveTheHamptonHouse. So, again, the email is SaveTheHamptonHouse@gmail.com. And we just had a 48-hour telethon last couple of days. We had people, students from Chicago State come out, Professor Kelly Harris, we had people in the community come work the phones, and we still charge up the net, you know. And they call us, And area code 773-256-9451.
All right, family. Y'all heard it. Y'all got it. So now it's up to you. Okay, we are going to get ready to close this session out. We thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back tomorrow. Again, we're doing radio broadcasts every day this week as a part of Million Women March Week 2018. We're getting ready for next week's 21-year anniversary commemoration. We will be at the Paul Robeson House, which is located at 50th and Walnut Street here in Philadelphia. We plan to do a live stream, and that will consist of both a press briefing as well as a community information session, because we're getting ready to really share and launch and unveil parts of the black print that we've been holding back on for a minute, and now we are bringing it forward. We're going to go back to Chairman Fred now and get his closing comments for tonight. Oh, Chairman Fred, before you give me your closing comments, I wanted to ask about, were there any updates on the murder of the sister? It was the elder sister, if I remember correctly, and she was found not only dead, but I think parts of her, she was mutilated or something to that nature. I think she was a Muslim sister as well. Has there been any updates on that?
You told the case of June 10th. Thana Muhammad.
Yes.
80 years old. Yes. No current. Obviously, that we can relay. I'll check back with the daughter and the family. You know, so see if there's any relative updates. I can check up on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was she found in a trunk or some? Where was she found?
Like supposedly in a trunk, like a trunk, like those trunks. Am I saying it right? The trunks that you a cloak, like a suitcase, like a big trunk. Am I saying it right? Like a trunk. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was in June.
Yeah.
What was her age?
Okay.
Excuse me, Empress.
Yes.
This is Sister Liz, and we just looked it up as far as Chicago Tribune about asked a question about the deeds and transfers and things like that. So it says here that and you have a certain amount of time to kind of get the deed transferred over or recorded. But and if there was like any debt owned on the house, that of course the owner would sell it and then you get the proceeds, or you can get a court judgment entered to kind of have it paid off.
So, one more time.
So, all right. If you go, we Googled it in for Chicago, transferring a deed after a death. So, if you want to Google that in, and we did it for Chicago.
Okay.
And the Chicago Tribune, it had like a lot of different questions and things like that and answers for it. So, if y'all just transfer that in. I mean, Google that in, transferring deed after a death, you know, for Chicago, Illinois, or, you know, it should answer pretty much all your questions or give you some answers.
Good thing.
Oh, okay. Right. What's that email? Because we're going to send this link to you.
Save the Hampton House.
Oh, save the Hampton House. Okay.
At gmail.com.
At Gmail. Okay.
Save Hampton House. Save the Hampton House at gmail.com. Okay. All right. And what's that telephone number again?
The telephone number is 773. Let me give this number here. 773-256-9451.
All right. Now, when they call in, you'll tell them how to do whatever they need to do.
They can call in, the pledges, what they can commit to, what have you. You know, that's how we do.
All right. All right. Got it. We're going to send this link. To SaveTheHamptonHouse@gmail.com,
yes.
Correct?
Yes,
right,
yes, correct.
We're going to send that email to you here. That link for that. Okay. That's all I have for today, sorry.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks.
All right. Good, thanks.
You know,
okay.
Brother Tim is over here. I just want you to know Brother Tim looked this up. He's on his IT chat.
All right,
Brother
Tim.
Yes.
Good, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim and Fred, we're going to go back to you for your closing comments.
Well, let me say again, thank you. For the information, for the support. We say, again, it's bigger than the building, more significant than the structure. Marcus Garvey said, faith is not an option. So, again, contact us at SaveTheHamptonHouse@gmail.com. Whatever support you can give, we on crunch time and we on curb time. And we know that without the people, it cannot happen. So, again, revolutionary appreciation to our most valuable asset, that being the people. Thank you all.
All right, family. Well, what we're going to do is get ready to close this session out, and we want to remind you. Now, Tim and Fred, one quick question. There's another email address, and I was wondering if you wanted me to give that one out as well. That one is, I think, is the Panther Cub.
Yes.
Did you
Black
want
Panther Party Cub?
Okay. Yep. Mhm.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So hold on one moment. Let me pull that up. Okay. It's always good to, you know, just have extra or additional information, family, because we've had we would give out one email address, and the next thing we know, it's not received. So we try to. Mm-hmm. Give you additional backups, let's put it that way, because when you're dealing with this internet stuff, you never know what can happen, so it's always good to have an additional number or whatever. So, Tim and Fred, let's see if I have it right here. Nope, I don't have it. Tim and Fred, give that other email address.
Black Panther Party Cubs, 124. Mm-hmm. @gmail.com.
That's the one.
124@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay.
124@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Okay. I found it. I'm going to do it one more time. It's Black Panther Party Cubs. 124@gmail.com.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Black Panther Party Cubs. Which is CUBS. 124 @gmail.com. Okay. All right. Y'all got it.
Right on.
All right, family. We're going to close the session out. And again, Shem and Fred, you will be getting a number shortly for you to call our sister Tangi tomorrow. And, she's going to give you some information as well. And let's see, I guess that's it for tonight. Mr. Lynch, you got anything else you want to add?
Just Brother Tim will be sending that link to the. SaveTheHamptonHouse@gmail.com web gmail that we found about Transfinity.
Okay. Oh, and before we go, Sister Gabrielle was bumped off, so she was able to get back in. So let's see if she had another question or comment before we close out. Sister Gabrielle, we got you now.
Yes. I don't know what happened. I just wanted to, excuse me, Chairman Fred, I just wanted to, excuse me, make clear that when you see the lawyer tomorrow that you get the information about the original mortgage document and any, when you file things in the court to keep a record.
You
got to
stop moving around, Sister Gabrielle, because you got to stop moving around with the phone because it's picking up
the
sound.
That's not me. That's someone else. I hear it also.
Okay, go ahead. Whoever it is, please stop moving around or go on mute. Okay, go ahead, sis.
Okay. You need an original copy of the mortgage document. It has to be fully executed. It has to have all signatures, including a notary, a list of court filings, which your lawyer can get, and find out whether or not that they had a hearing. They're the three most important things I can think of.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Take a note.
And anyway,
take
I can be an assistant. Yeah. I'm willing to help. I'm in the process of going through violations of the Constitution case in federal court here in Philadelphia. So I'm willing to help in any way I can. And I'm also a paralegal.
Yes, thank you. Much appreciated. Yes, indeed.
No problem.
I'm yes, indeed.
All right. All right, family. Well, this is what we do, and this is why we're going to get better at what we do, because we've got to do it for real.
That's right.
The whole idea of the Million Woman March and the Universal Movement is, in fact, to build something that is needed in our communities nationwide, and that is not only a Black United Front, meaning, you know, Black people who are fronting. We don't want that. We don't want that. No, we want something that's real, straight, raw, and definitely going to get this stuff done. We've worked very, very hard to make that happen, and now we're going to make sure that it does. What you've been hearing this past week in particular, it just gives you a kind of indication of what's yet to come. We've worked again very hard in these past years, and now we're ready to come forward. Like we said, we're grown now, so we're going to act like we're grown and do some grown-up things. And that means, again, to really build, establish, and sustain some institutions for our people, okay? So when you hear us talk about Million Woman March, you can simultaneously be thinking and talking about the fact that we're talking about our people, our families, our communities. We're not talking about what white women are talking about. We don't care about what white women are talking about. We don't have a problem saying that. Okay, so be real clear about who we are, what we are, what we represent. And we're stepping things up. Okay, so Chairman Fred, we love you. Please give your mom a big hug for me. And I'm looking to come and interact soon.
Love you. We look forward to it. Love you and appreciate you. Again, to the listeners and to the people, we send love, respect, and appreciation.
Absolutely. Good thanks, my brother. All right, family. We're going to close this session out, and we will be back again tomorrow and Saturday for our regular broadcast. But for right now, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there could never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there is truly, 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 truly justice, meaning Ma'at. And I got Liz, I got Sister Gabrielle and Chairman Fred. And so when I say there will never be any justice, what y'all going to say?
No peace.
No peace.
No peace. That's right. All right, family. Until next time, meaning tomorrow, we say promote your Tunashinda. Together, we shall win. And guess what? We talking about right now. Peace to you all.
Right now. Right now.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Hey. Hey.
right there, school.